keep going? What is it that gets you up out of bed in the morning and allows you to face life when life gets really, really, really difficult? Well, what I want to talk about tonight is in part what sustains Jesus. You know, we've been 3 months of anniversary here, and Jason, you know, we started out today. I want to do this thing called the Storyfall Way, and we just want to go through and tell the story of God and how he interacts with his creation, how he interacts with us. And we started off in Genesis, and we were going all through, and we've seen how Jesus is woven all the way through that entire story. Until last week, we saw when it kind of hits the head of the whole thing with the birth of Jesus, right? And all that that means. Well, today we're going to go to the next step. And it's a new phase in Jesus' life. The baptism of Jesus, but it's all about his identity. Because you see, what sustained Jesus through his tough times in life was his identity. And it's what will sustain us through those two times. If we really have our understanding of our identity, who we are, it's who we are, it's who we are. We sing the song, but we really get that in our heart? Do we really get that in the core of our being? Or does stuff come along and shake us, and all of a sudden we kind of forget who it is that we are? You see, our identity not only sustains us, but affects only everything about our life. You know, it's our identity that defines and governs how we do life. You know, if you come through a time of unemployment, and it goes for longer than a month or two, you know what's going to sustain you through that and not feel like a loser? Or how you will experience it? It's your identity. If your identity is all wrapped up in the job that I got, and how employable I am, and so on, and you're all of a sudden 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, 10 months, a year, Man, that's tough. And it's your identity when it comes time for retirement, which a bunch of you are far away from. Frank's with us, he's kind of in that same way. It's your identity that will determine how successful you are in your retirement. It's your identity that will determine who you date. It's your identity that will determine who you feel you should date. It's your identity that will talk about what kind of friends it is that we choose. It's your identity that will cause you to manage your money in the way that you manage it. You know, it's a really weird thing. One of my little interests in life is I do a lot of reading about personal finance. It's just because it's kind of the opposite to reading the Bible, so the avenue. It's kind of interesting. But you know, a few months ago I read a really, really interesting study. And it said that, listen, here's what you need to understand. Human beings, if you look at your bank account, there's a certain amount of your bank account, and there's this part that if your bank account falls below that money, all of a sudden you put the brakes on, you don't spend money, no more candy, no more movies, no more pizza. You kind of get through and you see that, and then when your bank account gets above that line, then all of a sudden, well then, now we can kind of go back to eating candy, watching movies, and buying pizza. But here's what's really interesting. Here's what was the surprise. They also found that with human beings, with people, there's a cap. And if you start to have more money in your bank account, if your net worth goes above that cap, you self-sabotage. You begin to do something to make sure that your money comes down. Because you see, people's identity, they kind of have the sense of who they are. And this is how much money I should have. And I shouldn't have too much and I shouldn't have too little. I'm going to live right in this band. Your identity, I'm telling you, your identity will drive so much of your day-to-day practical life. Now, the passage we're going to read today is kind of skinny. And it's not very long. And it's easy to just kind of read past it and go through it fast, but I want to park here for a while because it's incredibly rich, and honestly, if we get it, if we get this identity stuff, it is absolutely life-changing. It really is. So let's take a look at this next event, and Jesus has kind of been born, saw that last week, and now he's grown up, and this new phase of life is going to start his ministry. Look at this. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, Luke's the only one that talks about him praying when this happened. It's kind of interesting, you know, because all the accounts that talk about it. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit, right? God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? Right here we see the Trinity, right here in this passage. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven
You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased.
I want to drive those words into our hearts tonight, okay? Because that's what he said. The road comes down. You are my son, with whom I'm well pleased. And then the next verse, if you've got your Bibles with you, or you're looking on your devices, it goes on and talks about where Jesus come from. It says, you know, that Jesus, it was supposed, was the son of Joseph. We talked about that last week, how that works. And then it goes on, you know, the son of David, the son of Abraham, the son of Adam, who was the son of God. And that's what happens right the very next passage. You see, what this passage is doing is it's telling us Jesus' identity. It's telling us who Jesus is. It's the Father confirming to Jesus who he is as his son, as the one in whom he is well pleased. And so that's kind of good. But what I'm really excited about, what I'm jacked about this teaching is this whole thing, as I said, if we get our identity in the way that God defines it, our life is never the change. It's never the same again. So, who is Jesus? What's his identity? Well, the first thing that we see is that Jesus is the son of Adam, right? If you follow that genealogy through, he's the son. In other words, Jesus is a human being. Now, I'm going to get a little kind of tricky here, so you've got to watch with me. Hang with me, okay? So, the first indication that Jesus is a human being is that Jesus was baptized too. Now, if you remember the first part of the passage, and all the people saw, you know, they were being baptized by John. John they're talking about here is not the guy that wrote the Gospel of John. This John is John the Baptist. He was Jesus' cousin, and he was a crazy guy. I mean, this guy, he lived out in the wilderness, and so man, you know, living out in the wilderness has got to be tough. It was tough because, as you know, he kind of lived on two things. He lived on honey, that's okay, but he also lived on grasshoppers or locusts, okay? That was his diet, and so he's out there, you know, big beard, long hair, you know, skin over top of him, chowing down on grasshoppers, and just sort of flailing his arms around and being this crazy guy that took on the entire society. He even took on the king at the time. Right? And so there's this wild man, and the people are going out because he was such a crazy prophet, and he had this baptism, which is called the baptism of repentance. Okay? Now let me explain what that is. Okay? Repentance is this. Repentance is I'm going along and I'm walking away from God. I'm doing my own thing. I'm hanging out as I want to go. I'm living my life my way, and then all of a sudden, I turn around 180 degrees, and I go, oh no, I'm going to live for God, 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 right? So the first thing that John's baptism was, is that people were saying, he was saying to the Israelites, to the Jewish people, you guys are pointing fingers at the Gentiles, at the non-Jews, you're criticizing them, let me tell you something, you've walked away from God too. We as Jews, we as Israel, we've gone far away from God. And what we need to do is I'm going away from God, We as Jews, oh, stop. I'm going to walk to God. So it was a baptism of repentance. We've been walking away from God, now we turn back. Second thing, it was a baptism that had to do with the forgiveness of sins. If you've read the Bible, there's this wild chapter where John's there and he's kind of doing his thing in the River Jordan, there, splash, blah, 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 that type of these guys. And he sees a bunch of the religious leaders come up and they're standing on the hills. And do you remember what he said to them? You bunch of snakes. Now, this is the kind of preaching you can really get into, you know. You bunch of snakes. Who warned you to escape the coming wrath? Who warned you to escape judgment? Who warned you that you needed to get forgiveness for your sins? So John's baptism was for repentance. I was running away from God. Now I'm running to God. And it was for forgiveness. Now here's this wacko thing. Jesus gets baptized. Why did he do that? I mean, if this baptism was all about I was running away from God, now I'm running to God. And we know that Jesus never turned away from God. Jesus never walked away from God. Why would he get baptized? And if this baptism was to escape the coming wrath, it was for the forgiveness of sins, Jesus never sinned. That's kind of the whole deal, right? So if Jesus never turned away from God, and Jesus never sinned,
Why in the world would he get baptized? I'll tell you why. He got baptized because he's identifying himself with you and me. He's identifying himself with humanity. He's saying that I am going to take and represent humankind's need for forgiveness and repentance. There's a guy by the name of James Torrance. He's a great, great English guy, theologian. His stuff, you read his stuff, like you don't do this for bedtime reading, man. You gotta be awake. But he said a really cool thing. I'm gonna put it up on here. It's a bit long, but hang with it. It's just really cool. It's kind of his translation of what's going on when Jesus goes to get baptized by John, right? When that's Jesus, saw the people going down to the river to be baptized by John, confessing their sins, because that's what it meant to be baptized, is he said, hey man, I need to repent. When Jesus went down, confessing their sins, submitting to the verdict of guilty, I screwed up, I've rebelled against God, that's repentance. Jesus said to John, baptize me. I will submit to the verdict of guilty for them. He identified himself with sinners, so that he might take their place as their substitute under the judgment of God. Jesus is saying, I am a human being. I am standing right here with them. Hey, this is one of the big differences between Islam and Christianity. You see, in Islam, they've got such a view of the power of God, the holiness of God, that God has to stay distant from people. God has to be way, way far up there. And he doesn't really have anything to do with human beings. He's this sovereign God that, you know, you just got to be so careful. You know, that's why the stoning and all that kind of stuff that happens. You know what the Christian God says? The Christian God says, I'm going to come and I'm going to stand right beside you in your mess. I don't care what your mess is. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what addictions you're struggling with. I don't care what sin has got a hold of you. I don't care how far away from me you've run. I don't care what's going on in your marriage. I don't care what's going on with your sexuality. I don't care what's going on with your money. I don't care what's going on. Here's the deal. You're in a mess, and you know what I want to do? I want to come and I want to stand right there with you in the middle of your mess. Because I'm going to come and I'm going to be human. And to be human means to be in a mess. So the first indication that Jesus is the Son of Adam, that Jesus is a human being, is he says, hey, you know what? I'm going to come and I'm going to represent human beings. I'm going to stand in the middle of the mess. I'm going to stand here before the judgment of God and take you upon myself. Second thing that it has about how he's a human being is his family lineage. It goes on and says, you know, he's the son of Joseph. And then he says, oh, you know what? He's the son of David. And the whole point there is that he's part of the royal line. We talked about that in the Kings and the Prophets, a little message. And then he says, well, you know what? He's also the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of the faith, the father of the Jews. And it goes all the way back to Adam. But here's what's really cool. Here is a really cool thing. You see, what he's saying with that Jesus is the son of Adam, is he's saying that he's standing in for everybody, not just Jews. And Adam, you see, was the one that screwed up the whole thing in the first place. Remember that? Way back in the whole deal, you know, creation was good and creation was awesome and we were intimate with God and all that kind of stuff. And then Adam comes along and sin, and all of a sudden everything blows apart. Remember that whole thing? Adam, where are you? The cry of anguish of God's heart, because he wanted so much to be intimate with us, but we sinned. And so Adam messed up the whole system. Well, the reason that this genealogy goes back to Adam with Jesus is that Luke is telling us, you know what's going to happen? Is that God is going to start humankind all over again in Jesus. He's going to be the second Adam, the Apostle Paul says. He's going to be the new creation. So here's the deal. When we come to Jesus, we've got the opportunity to be recreated as the new humanity. This is the ultimate do-over. this is the thing that I've messed up my life and I'm in this mess and all of this kind of stuff. And then you come along and Jesus says, hey, you know what? You can have a do-over. You can be totally recreated. You can be not just patched up so you know you're still walking with a crutch and it's okay. No, no, you can be absolutely recreated. You can be my perfect son, my perfect daughter all over again. So the Apostle Paul says, listen, we are a beholder, a new creation. The old has passed away and the new things have become new. A new creation. The bottom line is that Jesus is one of us. That's the first part of his identity. He is a human being. He is God come in the flesh. Second thing in this baptism is that we see that Jesus is the Son of God. This is my Son, whom I love, and the Holy Spirit came down as a dove. See, Jesus is the one who brings the Holy Spirit to us. And in the Gospel of Luke, the Holy Spirit is the source of all power and all goodness. Remember in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter replied, and this is to us now. So the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus in his baptism. And then Peter explains it this way. Look, repent. We already talked what that is, right? Repent and be baptized. Get dunked under the water, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus grants us the Spirit and we are adopted as children of God. And the Holy Spirit gives his fruit, the result of him being part of us. And he changes us. He transforms us. He fixes us. He remakes us. He makes us into an absolutely new creation. And the old is gone and the new has come. And the image of Jesus, the personality of Jesus, the faithfulness of Jesus, the gentleness of Jesus, the kindness of Jesus, the love of Jesus begins to appear in our life, until Jesus, as the Son of God, brings the Holy Spirit to us in a new way. Next thing that Jesus is that he is the conquering king. Well, how did you get that out of that passage? You just read that little thing in Luke there about, you know, this is my Son. Where'd you get this conquering king business? I'll tell you why. You remember a few weeks ago, Ryan said, hey, you know how you can say a line of a song and people that know music kind of know the whole song? Do you remember him talking about that? It's terrible at staff meetings. Because Scott and Jason know music. And so we're all kind of sitting around the table and, you know, somebody, I'll innocently say something and all of a sudden Scott and Jason, one of them start humming a little tune and the two of them are cracking up laughing. I don't have a clue what's going on, you know. But they've got some song that they're finding there. They have to explain. But okay, here's the deal. For the Jewish people, remember Ryan explained this, for the Jewish people, what they'd oftentimes do is they'd give a little hint, a little bit of a verse, and then everybody listening would know, oh man, that's this whole song. That's this whole song. That's this whole verse. All right, now, when Jesus says, when God says to Jesus, you are my Son, in the context of the Holy Spirit moved upon him, what everybody understood is that God the Father is quoting Psalm 2. Because Psalm 2, in the Old Testament, right in the middle of the Bible, right? You crack that sucker open, there's all the hymns of Israel. Psalm 2 was what's called a messianic psalm. It's a psalm that they knew would apply to the Messiah. And what does Psalm 2 say? In part, it says this. I'll proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my Son. Today I've become your Father. Ask of me, and I'll make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possessions. You will break them with a rod of iron. These are the people, the nations that scoff at him, these powerful kings. You'll break them with a rod of iron. You'll dash them to pieces like pottery. You see, what the Father is saying, said, hey, you want to know what the identity of my Son? I'll tell you the identity of my Son. He is the Son of God. He is the conquering king. He's the one that Israel has been waiting for. He's the Son of God who comes to rule as the king that will destroy all of his enemies. Now, it's kind of weird, because you see it says, today I've become your Father. You see that? We did this whole thing all the way through. We're talking about the Trinity, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and how they're all God, and not one's less than the other. So the whole deal is, what do you mean? Wasn't Jesus around before creation? When we talk about that, Jesus is an act of creation, right? The Colossians tells us that everything that was created was done for him and by him. So what are you talking about? Today he's become my son, like he was Joseph's son before and then was God's son. Here's, let me try and explain it this way, okay? Let's imagine you've got a kid. Okay, son or daughter, doesn't matter. And they grow up and they get done school, hopefully, and then they go into the trades. And then after they've done a 4-year apprentice, they become an electrician or a plumber or a carpenter or whatever it is. Maybe they go to university and they become a lawyer, I don't know, whatever they do, right? On that day that they graduate, you would say, I am now the father of a plumber. Right? This day I've become a father in a different way. This day I've become a father of a baker, of a lawyer, of a plumber. Right? You see what's going on here? So what the father's saying is that, listen, on this day when Jesus gets baptized, he's going to begin his ministry on earth. He's going to go out and begin this march towards the cross. He says, so on this day I become your father. How have I become your father? Because on this day you're taking on the role as Savior and King of the world. This day you're going to live it out. Okay, so that's the whole deal there. So don't let that freak you out and wonder, oh, was Jesus just born? He wouldn't exist before. Yeah, he existed from the very beginning. But on this day, God the Father says, on this day, everyone's going to start to see that you're the king. Everyone's going to see that you're the center of it all. But now things get really wild. Now things get really, absolutely crazy. Because what this passage says in Luke is that this whole deal about Jesus being a human being, this whole deal about Jesus being the one who brings the Holy Spirit, this whole deal about Jesus being the king, is he's going to say this, listen, all that Jesus is, all that power, all that majesty, all that kingship, I'm going to put about healing you. That's what I want to use my power for. I want to use my power to fix you up. How do you know that, Aaron? Well, remember what I said about the whole Psalms, right? Except for this time the little phrase, with you I'm well pleased, it comes from Isaiah. And everyone thinks, oh, he's talking about Isaiah 42. Here's my servant, whom I have called, my chosen one in whom I delight, my chosen one with whom I'm well pleased. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. Look at this beautiful thing. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he'll bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged until he establishes justice, until he makes everything right on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope. All of this power, all of this kingship, all of this Holy Spirit, God says he's going to use all that he is to bring justice to the earth, to make things right, to lift up those who've been pressed down, to bind up those who feel like they're broken, to breathe life and oxygen into those who feel like their life is just about to be snuffed out. I'm going to use everything that I am, says God, to heal people and to heal the nations. You know, I tried to put it together, this whole deal so far, in a little bit of writing. I think I wrote this. I found it in one of my notes. I didn't have quotation marks in, so I think I thought it up myself. But we'll see. At his baptism, here's what's going on, okay? Now watch for his identity. At his baptism, Jesus comes to the Father saying, hey, I am one of them. I'm a human being. I will stand in for these people who sin and rebel and walk away, and I will take their fault upon my shoulders so that they can come into your presence. I'll take their junk, I'll take their crap, I'll take their sin instead of them having it. That's what I'm saying to you in this baptism, Jesus says to the Father. And in response, the Father says, that's my boy. That's my son. That's my heart, to relieve people of the weight of what they're carrying on their shoulders. That's my son. He is the ruler of the universe. And everyone who is strong and mighty must yield to him, or else they're going to get crushed. Psalm 2. But the weak and the broken, he's the appointed healer of people, who restores life to those who've had life squeezed out. Because that's what he's about. That's his identity. You see, when Jesus was getting baptized, he was making a covenant with the Father. He talked a lot about what a covenant is. And he said, this is the covenant. I'm going to stand in for them. This is the term. I'm going to stand in for them. I'm going to take their sin on my shoulders. And the Father says, then this is the promise. Anyone who stands against God, anyone who oppresses people, anyone who's a tool of the enemy to crush the life out of people, you're going to crush them. But anyone who is broken, anyone who feels like they're going to give up, anyone who needs binding up, you're going to be the ultimate healer. That's who you are, Jesus. That's who you are, son. That's who you are. Well, that's very nice. And that's who Jesus is. He is a human being standing in the midst of our mess. He is the Son of God who claims the Holy Spirit and as the King of the universe wants nothing more than to bring healing to your life and to your circumstances, to your relationship, to your very being. Well, that's fine. That's who Jesus is. But what's going on with our identity? We started off, George, by you saying, how do you handle the stress in your life? How do you handle the pressure? How do you handle it when everything goes into the crapper? How do you get through all of that? How do you sustain during difficult times? I'll tell you how. Because this is all about Alan becoming the Son of God. It's all about Alison becoming a daughter. You see, what God does for us is he gives us a new identity. God himself comes upon us. And he says, I'm going to place upon you the spirit of adoption. And no matter where you've been, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, I am going to make you my child. I'm going to make you my son. I'm going to make you my daughter. Because you see, when you get baptized, you get baptized into Jesus' baptism. And we take on his baptism. We take on his personality. We become in Jesus. And God calls us our son, his daughter. We join Jesus in baptism. And all that Jesus is and does, we get when we come up out of the water. The King of the universe says to you, this is Alan, my son. And him I'm pleased with. This is Alison, my daughter. And I'm proud of her. And I'm pleased with her. And I'm going to heal her. And I'm going to flow through her to make her a healer of the nations. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. We get this new identity. Think of this. Alan, Son of God. Put your own name in there. We're going to count to three, and then you're going to say it, right? And if you're a son of God, you say son, and if you're a girl, you say daughter. Okay, you remember? We're going to count to three, you put your name in there. Ready? One, two, three. Alan, Son of God. I'm going to tell you something. If you will allow the Holy Spirit to put that in your hearts, and it's just not words to you, but you understand that God has given you a new identity. And no matter where you've been, what you've done, how far you've run, whatever, you get this new identity. You are a new creation. You are a daughter of God. With whom God is well pleased. Next thing, Jesus not only gives us this new identity, but he gives us victory. He gives us victory in life so that we can stand against the attacks of the enemy. We even conquer death. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans, no, in all of these things, And he goes height and depth, love and hate, blah, blah, blah. Nothing. No, in all of these things, in all the messes in life, in all of the junk that the enemy throws against you, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. The word actually is, we are more than super conquerors. I mean, you know, Wonder Woman's got nothing on you, baby. This is the main deal, you know. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You see, this whole deal about getting baptized and Jesus being baptized and becoming the victor is so that when we get baptized into Jesus, he gives his victory to you. So that we can dwell in his victory in the circumstances of life. But not only that, but he gives us healing. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he won't say. Have you ever been there, smoldering wick? Like you are just barely hanging on to life. You are just barely hanging on to hope. You're just barely hanging on to this friendship. You're just barely hanging on to this marriage. You're just barely hanging on to whatever it is that you're. It's all falling apart. You're a smoldering wick, and your heart just feels like it's going to give up because it's just too much. And Jesus comes and says, "Listen, the smoldering wick, when you're there, man, I'm going to blow my spirit upon you, and that flame can come back to life again. Because that's what I do. And you're broken, and you're hobbling around, and you don't know if you can get from one place to the next, and you feel like your life is broken, not just your leg." Jesus says, "Hey, listen, I want to use all my kingdom power. I want to use everything that I am to bind you up so that you can get the next day. No matter how you got broken, no matter how broken you are, I'm going to bind you up. And I'm going to give you what you need to make the next day. Because this is who you are. This is who you are. You are a child of God with this new identity that has within your life the victory of God and the healing that only God can bring to your life. And it's important that we get this. You know why? Because you know what happened to Jesus right after his baptism? I'll tell you what happened. He went out into the wilderness to be tempted, to be tested. For Satan to throw at him everything that Satan had to throw at him. And you see, we get that in life. We face hard times. So how did Jesus get through it? I'll tell you how Jesus got through it, sitting alone there in the wilderness, with only the enemy to persecute him. He got through it by remembering who he was. He got through it by remembering the words of the Father. This is my son, and I am pleased with him. And the Holy Spirit reminded him of this reality. So how is it that we can get through these times that feel like they're going to snuff us out, that feel like they're going to crush us, that feel like they're going to break us? We remember our identity. We remember who we are. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And I am loved by you because you are my Father. And you say, "This is Alan, my son, and I am pleased with him." And you can say that too. If you have Christ in your life, you can say that too. And you can live your life with the words of God Almighty, talking about how you are his child and how he loves you. Every day of your life. And I'm telling you, if you let that into your hearts, if you let that be more than just the words of a preacher, your life
will never be the same again. Amen.